Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. Woo-hoo.
Kick up. Kick the ball away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Out of Vinatieri. Boom to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Parker's Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House might come into here. Hey, it is Tuesday, November 21st, and less than 2 days to Thanksgiving. And when you get to Thanksgiving, I kind of feel like at that point then, doesn't it feel like from the time Thanksgiving hits that the rest of the season just moves very, very quickly? Now, I don't know if it's because so many of us are distracted with other things going on with the holidays, etc. I don't know if that's it or if, in fact, it really does kind of just seems to somewhat accelerate. But here we are, 2 days away from, less than 2 days away from Turkey Day, and 3 games being played this coming Thursday. As a week 11 now down, we've gotten 11 weeks down and just 6 games remaining. And so we're here tonight to give thanks. And what are we giving thanks for? Well, I'll tell you where I am. Anybody that listens to Frat House Sports and has been for any length of time knows that I'm a big fan across sports of something that I love to call parity. And when you take a look across the NFL, it's a very different looking NFL as we enter week 12 of this season. And now at week 12, as I'm pointing out, things are going to start to move. At least it's going to give you that feeling that things are going to start to move very, very quickly towards the conclusion of the season. Very different looking NFL. I mean, when you take a look at it, consider it for a moment. Yes, over in the AFC up at the top, yeah, sure, you've got the Patriots there. That's not the same Patriots team that we've seen in the past. That's not a dominating, really dominating Patriots team who's got the entire AFC by the horns, pulling that conference in the direction it wants to go. That's not the case because right below there, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I got to tell you, 8-2 team there, I got questions about them. I'm not sure that they're a dominating team. But once you get past those two, then it starts to get a little more interesting. Jacksonville Jaguars. Are they the team that's going to come out of the AFC? Really? I'd be okay with it. The Kansas City Chiefs, losers of 4 of the past 5. That team suddenly looks like they're feeling like they're starting to fall apart. And now you're wondering who in the world is possibly going to default out of the AFC West. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we were saying, well, maybe the Oakland Raiders could pull it back in there. I don't know. I don't think anybody's really thinking Denver. Now, over in the NFC, you've got the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a different look. You've got the Minnesota Vikings. That's a different look. You got the New Orleans Saints, 8-2. And then the Los Angeles Rams. So, what am I giving thanks for? I'm giving thanks for a very different looking NFL. And as I've just gone through so many of those things, we're going to take a look back at some of the games from this past week. And I no sooner got done talking about the Los Angeles Rams there for just a second, when in fact, it's interesting, 10 games down, and I think you still have to be sitting back going, are the Rams for real? They took a big loss the other day to the Minnesota Vikings. And so I come away from it going, hey, are the Rams really? I mean, that's the question we've been asking almost from the very beginning of the season. Are the Rams, in fact, for real? And I think we have to continue to ask that question. New Orleans Saints, 8 wins in a row, and yet this past week, interestingly, my opinion, the Saints struggled against a team they should have had complete control over, and that was the Washington Redskins. Look, let's get this one straight. They needed overtime to beat the Washington Redskins. As I pointed out, the Kansas City Chiefs couldn't score a single touchdown the other day against the New York Giants? Really? Look, Big Ray, I don't care if you got to travel to New York or not. I don't really give a darn. You are a better team than the New York Giants. Are you not? Or are you not? Overtime in that game as well. And what a score. We'll talk about that one. The Philadelphia Eagles won this past week again. 9-1 now. The best team, the best record, let's put it that way, the best record in the NFL. That 9-1 record, though, most recently acquired as a result of the Dallas Cowboys. And we talked a little bit about it last week. I'm going to have to bring it up again. It would seem that the Philadelphia Eagles now virtually have a lock on the NFC East, you would think, now 4 games in front of their nearest competitor. But I think the bigger question has to go to the Dallas Cowboys, and that is, are they truly a one-man team? We asked it before. Sure looked that way this past week again. And then last night in Monday Night Football, interesting game here, because I think a lot of people probably went into this game saying, oh, come on, this is Seattle, right? This is Seattle. We're going to be playing in Seattle anyhow. This has got to be Seattle's game. And Seattle's the better team, right? Because Atlanta just, well, they're on again, off again. But in fact, what came out of this, which was rather interesting, was that by the end of the game, with Atlanta winning by just a field goal, Atlanta and Seattle essentially swapped places. Where at the beginning of the game, Seattle was in the playoffs, and Atlanta was on the outside looking in. By the end of the game, Atlanta's in the playoffs and Seattle looking in. So that's how close that situation is. Anyhow, we will take a look at a couple of those games. And as we did last week, we will try to get around it. Oh, we'll name drop as many of the teams as we possibly can. We'll see whether we can do it again this week. If anybody wants to jump in with us here this evening, 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can catch up with us in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. You can leave us a message there, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter at Frat House Mike. Give me a follow. I'll bring your comments to the air, or we can chat over Twitter. Because look, let's remember, it's 280 characters now, so we can have a full conversation. All right. Anyhow, let me get my sidekick in here for Tuesday evenings, and that would be Brandon. Brandon, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, as good as Blog Talk's connection. style tonight, I think, from the sounds of things. It already kicked me out once with your intro.
Uh-huh.
And a couple times you were talking there, you kind of went blank for a minute or two.
Okay, so, and you're cutting in and out now yourself. So we'll see how long we can tolerate this here this evening before we all get totally fed up with it. I had a little trouble, as I put it out. In fact, I had a lot of trouble actually just connecting to everything here this evening. Nothing would connect. It kept coming back indicating that there was a network error. So my guess is that BTR is having some issues this evening. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what that was, but
oh, that was me. I'm sorry. You didn't hear me?
Nope.
Or called BT.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, boy, oh, boy. well, we'll try. We'll try to get through this. Let's see if we can get through. Let's see if we can get through at least an initial conversation about things. We'll do our best. Otherwise, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how successful this is going to be, because I'm only hearing like maybe every fourth word. As I just pointed out, Brandon, interesting looking NFL as we are heading into Thanksgiving. I, for one, like it. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to tell everybody, and I'll say it, you know, I know everybody's, you know, I've got a lot of people, and you know, I listen to sports radio during the daytime and what have you, and everybody here in, you know, the Philadelphia region, anyhow, everybody's talking Philadelphia Eagles, everybody's talking Super Bowl. I can't go there yet, despite the fact.
Brock, you got to get on the Wentz wagon.
Yeah, maybe I got to do that, but I got to tell you, while I'm very, very thrilled for what's happening for the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm not ready to go jumping guns to all the way, you know, past the NFC Championship. I'm not even prepared to jump all the way to the NFC Championship. But aside from what I'm liking that I see with the NFC East, listen, I look around the whole entire league, and from the standpoint of parity, I like what I see going on. I like the fact that Jacksonville is surprisingly sitting up there at the top of the AFC South. I like the fact a little bit, albeit I don't know quite know where it's going yet. I like a little bit right now that the Kansas City Chiefs are kind of stumbling a little bit, because at least it makes that division a little bit interesting. I like the fact the New Orleans Saints have won 8 in a row. I'm loving what I see coming out of the Los Angeles Rams, albeit I still have major question marks about whether they're legit for real or not. I don't know. What are your thoughts as we go into this, particularly, and let me bring it down to this for you for a moment. If we were to talk about strictly just about the AFC, is the AFC, are the New England Patriots, are they the strongest team right now in the AFC, coming out of the AFC? And that's a because one of the things I pointed out in the introduction is, hey, is, you know, this isn't the same New England Patriots team we've seen in the past that is as dominating a team as we have seen in the past. This is not a fully dominating AFC New England Patriots team. Yes, they lead the AFC East, but they're not, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're wowing me, but at the same time, I would have to probably say they're the favorites to come out of the AFC. So I saw that you were dropping in and out there, Brandon, but my question to you kind of to start things off, just looking strictly at the AFC, do we default to the New England Patriots as that team that, hey, while they might not appear to be as dominant as they have in the past, you kind of have to think that, well, they'd be the favorite coming out of that division to win the conference.
Well, after week 15, when they play Pittsburgh, that'll be the linchpin to see which one of the two is going to be the leaders in the clubhouse, because that'll probably decide home field throughout. Both teams are even right now with their record. They play head to head in week 15, and whoever wins that game, you know, is going to be driver's seat, you know, for number one seed. I think those are your two to watch in the AFC. And I'm very disappointed in Kansas City the last few weeks. They no way should have lost that game to New York Giants this past week. They can't seem to score. All their offensive weapons, Tyreek Hill and Hunt, their new running back, all of a sudden they just, what, they don't have to play.
How much of that do you put it at the feet of, I suppose, you know, somebody like Alex Smith?
Put it on Alex Smith. I put it on more as the coaching staff, because, you know, two younger players here and starting to figure out how to counter them. But then the Kansas coaching staff has to come up with new ways of using them. I think that's where they're coming. I think they were leaders above everybody for a while, but then as their eyes, you know, I think that's kind of slowed them down, you know, and they need to adapt. They need to, you know, use it differently, call different plays, right? You know, I'm not a coach, but, you know.
Well, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to.
What are you thinking?
No, I'm trying to decipher. I'm sitting here trying to decipher exactly what you're saying, because, I mean, unfortunately, the cutouts here are just it's bad. I'm only getting maybe every third word. I'm almost starting to think this isn't going to. I don't know if this is going to work. If this is going to continue this way. There have been rumors in the past couple of days, and I don't know how much you've had a chance to catch up on some of the rumors, but there are rumors that there may be. Now, there was announcement of it today in Denver, but there have been rumors, believe it or not, that there might be a quarterback change in Kansas City. And they might move away from Alex Smith, perhaps go to Pat Mahomes.
I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, Kansas City's still in playoff race, right?
I mean, sure. 6-4.
You don't go to a rookie. You don't go to a rookie while you're, you know, still in. I mean, they're still in that West, as bad as that is. I don't know that I would agree with that, to be honest with you. That's, to me, seems almost like that would be a bad decision. I mean, it'd be different if they were, you know, 4-6 and more or less out of it. But not at 6-4 when you're, you know, still in it. I wouldn't agree with that a little bit.
Right. And in the Denver Broncos case, they're 3-7, and they're in the basement.
No problem. And they can do whatever they want.
They've already announced Paxton Lynch will start this week. You know, the thinking has been that the Denver Broncos have got to get a good look at Paxton Lynch at some point this season, anyhow, in order to make a determination about what their future plans are going to be in the draft next year. So they gotta make this determination now, because obviously Trevor Siemian's not the guy, Brock Osweiler is not seemingly the guy. So hey, I'm all for what Denver's doing. I might agree with you. I'm not sure that Kansas City. You know, deciding to. I mean, listen, from what I've seen of Mahomes, I like what I saw of him in preseason. But when you're sitting at the top of your division in 6-4, I don't know. Now they might be looking. You know, they might be looking down the line and looking at everybody's schedule and going, you know what, we can afford to take a week to see what Pat Mahomes does. We could take a week. You know what I mean?
I don't agree with that a little bit. You don't blow up your chemistry. As a matter of fact, you got to get it back. If Alex Smith is your quarterback for the playoffs, you got to get Alex Smith firing all cylinders like he was earlier. You can't play games with looking at, you know, a rookie quarterback. No, that would be like pushing the self-destruct button on this season. They may still make the playoffs, but they're going to have a locker room divide going into the playoffs, and you don't want that. That's just so bad. I see nothing good that comes out of that because, you know, they put that rookie in, and he even looked remotely promising. They're going to have half the guys on the team wanting him, the other half wanting Smith. You can't have that. You can't. That would be so destructive. The only way it would work is the poor rookie goes out there and falls flat on his face. And you don't want that either because you don't want to destroy his, you know, confidence moving forward. So, you know, your team's you're 6-4 with a 2-game lead on the rest of the division. You ride it out. And if Alex Smith keeps falling down, then, you know, all bets are off. But with a 2-game lead, you got to think they can manage to win this division. I mean, the Chargers, the Broncos, none of them are doing anything. You know, they're all losing left and right. I mean, the Chargers, if anything, are kind of on an upswing. Well, you hate to say it, but, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that team anymore. So, I don't know. I don't think you're a Chiefs. You can't go playing with your quarterback.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. And like I said, I like what I've seen from Pat Mahomes. I'm shockingly surprised by what I saw from him in the preseason. I agree with you. I think, you know, you could destroy his confidence if you put him in a bad spot and it turns out really badly. So I would agree with you. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. With regard to teams that are, you know, right now the hottest team, crazy as it might sound, the hottest team in the AFC West are the Los Angeles Chargers, 3-2 in their last five. So there's the crazy part of it. But 4-6. So as you point out, yeah, okay, fine. You're 3-2 in your last five. To me, that is irrelevant because you're still 2 games down in the loss column. So Kansas City is in the driver's seat, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And you give away the driver's seat if you decide to make a change, I think, with the quarterback.
I think there's more negative than what can be. You're not going to rock rookie quarterback into the playoffs because if you were going to do that, you'd have started in week one. You know, your plan all along was to run Alex Smith and ride Alex Smith. And the way this season started, there was nobody that would have questioned that plan. I still don't think you questioned the plan because, you know, like I see anything go wrong, you know, for this season and the future if it goes poorly. So I think you gotta ride Alex Smith this year and, you know, hope you win enough games to keep, you know, you got 2-game lead. Nobody else in your division's that strong. You probably have a few division games left, so you gotta ride that out.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. And I find it difficult to believe that the Kansas City Chiefs can't, as you point out, can't find a way to get through the next 6 games to pull this, to pull the division off. I just find it somewhat difficult to believe. But going back to real quick, just the conversation about the AFC, you know, you pointed it out. New England seems to have addressed at least some of their defensive issues, which were the biggest problem they were having earlier on in the season. They seem to have addressed those at 8-2. You would have to say that New England probably is the default team to be favored to come out of this division. As you point out, Pittsburgh, you know, that game 15, of course, that's assuming that Pittsburgh can stay even with them. I just pulled up Pittsburgh's schedule. for the remainder of the season. Packers this week, Bengals on December 4, Ravens on December 10, Patriots December 17, that's week 15. So Packers, Bengals, Ravens, all beatable games. Winnable, very winnable games.
I think the Ravens is the best team they have, division game. I know the Bengals are a division game as well, but the Bengals just can't seem to do anything right. Ravens sometimes look okay, sometimes they look horrible. So, you know, I think and the Ravens-Pittsburgh is a pretty nasty rival. I don't know, even though the Ravens have been around that long, I think it stays in the beginning. You know, it's always easy to go. I think that's the one I think I see them, you know, having the most trouble with. Do I think they? I think they win all three games if I had to pick them right now. So, you know, I think you're going with that week 15 game is going to decide who your number one seed for the AFC is for sure. In my opinion.
And four of the final six games for the Pittsburgh Steelers are at home, including that Patriots game and the Ravens game. The Ravens game is at home. The Patriots game is at home. Green Bay is at home. The only two games they have on the road are the Bengals game and the Houston Texans on Christmas Day. So that's it. Everything else is at home. So that certainly benefits Pittsburgh as well. Interesting. I think we've just broken it down pretty much. I think there might be your two teams that, you know, could very well be, you know, they're the two that you're going to be looking at.
Jacksonville might be honorable at 7-3, but they got much more consistent before I put them in that category. Now, they may be able to beat a wild card team, but I don't see them, you know, hanging with Pittsburgh or New England, you know, in the divisional round. So, you know, let's just say, you know, Pittsburgh or New England that means the other, they got to have a wild card. You know, I think Jacksonville may be a wild card, but they're not going to hang with Pittsburgh or New England. But that's just, you know, my opinion.
Over in the NFC, the two teams that kind of jump out at me as somewhat surprises, and that's aside from the Philadelphia Eagles, because I think, you know, anytime you talk surprises, you know, anywhere in this league, probably number one has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. But forgetting the Philadelphia Eagles for a moment, the two that jump out at me right away, of course, are the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Rams. The New Orleans Saints, only because of the fact that now winners of 8 in a row, which to me is surprising just on its face. To win 8 in a row is pretty darn good in the NFL, ever. That's number one. Number two, when this team first started the season, I got to be honest with you, they were a team that looked so bad in the first couple of games they had. I really didn't think that they could have gotten much better than maybe third in the division. That's the first thing I would say about it. The second team, the Los Angeles Rams, at 7-3, we've been asking it almost since week one, and I started out the program by talking about it. I think you almost have to continue to ask it, are the Rams, in fact, for real? And while they're sitting there with the 7-3 record, and you have to, you know, you come away from that going, well, for God's sakes, it's 7-3. Of course they're for real. This past week, all they were able to do was put up one touchdown to the Minnesota Vikings, lost 24-7. And you got Seattle, who seemed to be kind of sputtering a little bit in the beginning of the season. All of a sudden now, they're only one game out behind the Rams. And so you wonder, you sit there going, I don't know, maybe the Rams aren't as good as everybody kind of thought they were, or are they just kind of blue smoke and mirrors? You know what I mean?
No. I don't agree with any of that, because the Rams are 7-3. They're 4-1 in their last five games. They lost to one of the other 8-2 teams in the conference in Minnesota. You know, okay, you lost in Minnesota. You lost to a division league that had a comparable record. I'm not going to hold that against them. That's just one loss against a good team that's clearly, you know, a contender. I don't think that should elevate the Rams at all. If they go out there like Chiefs and lost to the Giants, then I might give that one game more credence. I'm not giving that game more credence for one game. Not the way the Rams played this year. And just, you know, it'd be different if who beat them wasn't 8-2 team division. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'll give the Rams a pass on this week, to be honest with you. Now, they continue. They have to do well these coming weeks, especially in games, especially against Seattle. As you just pointed out, that's all going to be important. But I can't. I find it hard to hold this past week against them. It's not like Kansas City plays the Giants get beat. So that's my thought on Rams. Anyway.
I'm trying to follow along.
No, you're not getting it all.
No.
The short answer is because of Minnesota. I give the Rams a pass. It's an 8-2. You know? I can't against the Rams.
Okay, I got you. All right. Well, let's just for a moment. Let's take a look at that game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles. Or we'll try to get through this game. Let's see if we can get through this game. I keep holding off on just completely aborting this issue, this program altogether, because I'm really not picking up anything. But let's see if we can get through this game anyhow, and if anything clears up. Jared Goff last week against the Minnesota Vikings did not have a bad game. 23-37, 225 yards. Now, there were no touchdowns and no interceptions. Not a horrible game. I think what impressed me most about this game against the Minnesota Vikings was their defensive play. Despite the fact, this is another game again where Case Keenum really has proven that whether Bridgewater is available or not, you're not going to change at this point right now. 27 of 38, 280 yards for Case Keenum, a touchdown and a passer rating of 100.8. The Vikings had themselves 173 yards on the ground between Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. This week it seemed to be all Latavius Murray, who had himself two touchdowns and 95 yards on the ground. Adam Thielen, who I've talked about here before, just a beast again, another 123 yards through the air and a touchdown. I go back to the defensive play of the Minnesota Vikings that just seemed to stymie the Rams throughout the entire game. If I'm not mistaken, I want to get to the team stats because I wanted to take a look at things like first downs for a moment. Yes, it's exactly what I thought. The proof is in when you take a look at the first down number. The Minnesota Vikings doubled the number of first downs over the Los Angeles Rams. If you recall back to that game, there was a lot of three and outs, because the Minnesota defense was holding the Rams to just three plays, and then they were off the field. So time of possession would also indicate that as well, where Minnesota just dominated time of possession, 37 minutes to 22. So just a really a strong game by Minnesota, and you have to give the strongest portion of that game to the defensive side of the ball.
Minnesota's defense is very stout, very impressive. But Keenum beat that starting quarterback. I think Minnesota is a legitimate contender. I don't think they can hang with the Eagles. I really don't. I think that'll probably, depending on how it works out between the Saints and the Vikings along the way, one of those, I think, will be a point in the Eagles in the NFC Championship, I would imagine. But, not what I've seen from Minnesota at this point. I mean, nobody expects them to be where they are. They may be benefiting a little from their Rodgers injury, but, that happens in the NFL. Sometimes your opponent, goes down, so you gotta take advantage of it when you can. Go ahead.
Let me get this right. Did I understand you to say that you think that the Philadelphia Eagles would have to face the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs or would not?
Well, I think it's going to come down to eventually, either Minnesota or the Saints against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. That's the way I would see it happening now.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
I don't think it would be round one. I think you're going to see, it depends who number the Eagles will get the Eagles should get the number one seed, and, the Saints and the you got to watch, though. The Saints are only one game ahead of Carolina. It's, the Carolina Panthers only one game back. I think Minnesota's fairly secure. But, the Saints got to keep up what they're doing, because the Panthers are only one game back. So,
right.
Well,
exactly. And that's going to be interesting to get Carolina back into the mix this current week, because, of course, they were off on bye last week. And that's a team that, I've had questions about all season long. One week they look really, really good. The next week, not so much. And, I don't know. They just appear to be at times really, I don't know. They're just not, they don't seem to be a cohesive team. Let's put it that way. The Carolina Panthers. I would have liked to have seen them play last week, but that's all right. We're going to get the chance this week. And I think seeing them again, particularly after a break now, that break might have helped them a lot.
Agreed. I think that team needed the bye.
Yeah, that might really, really give us a good handle on what we can expect from Carolina. Because I think, as you point out, if there's anything that could perhaps maybe derail the New Orleans Saints, it could be a big, big push by the Carolina Panthers. And just, one or two losses by the Saints, and suddenly the Panthers will have overtaken them. I might agree with you there. I'll tell you, when you take a look at the two teams, Minnesota and the Saints, and here I am. I'm an Eagles fan, and I sit back and I look at it and I think to myself, well, okay, if I had to play one of them in the playoffs, which one would I prefer to have? I'm not sure I want to play the Saints. Now, ultimately, I may have to. I understand that, but if I have my nethers, I'd rather play Minnesota, despite the fact I just got done praising their defense. And
I think Minnesota has a much stouter defense than the Saints. The Saints are winning because Breeze is, scoring a lot. And I think the Eagles defense counter him. You might have a better matchup against, as an Eagles fan and a team, against the New Orleans Saints than you do the Minnesota Vikings. Just, food for thought, The Eagles defense might be able to counteract some of the aggressiveness of the New Orleans offense.
Okay.
The Eagles defense is awesome right now.
Well, yeah, and number one against the pass. And of course, what's driving St. Louis right now so much? Ingram and Kamara. So both on the ground. So no, point well taken. I'm not sure.
No, that's a tough call. Yep.
Tough call. We'll cross that bridge if we get there.
I think you're going to get there. The Eagles are a team that look pretty, pretty stout right now. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. I mean, look at they got the NFC East locked. I mean, they'd have to have a complete meltdown of epic proportion at this point with a four-game lead with only six to play. I mean, come on. I just don't see that. I don't. And here's the part. The only team that's four games back is the Dallas Cowboys, who are one of the most desperate teams in the NFL right now. I don't see them anytime soon mounting an offense.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk. We'll talk about them here momentarily. I'm trying to get myself. I just kind of got lost here for a moment in my outline and everything that I had open. All right. Well, let's just take a look here real quick. The Minnesota Vikings this week. Who is Minnesota playing? Minnesota is playing Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. We've already talked about this. Well, you and I kind of talked about this game a little bit pre-show. But Minnesota, a 3-point favorite against Detroit. That's the early Thanksgiving Day game. And the Rams will be playing. Who did I say the Rams are playing? The Rams are playing the New Orleans. The Rams are playing the Saints. Rams are playing the Saints. That should be a good one as well. In which case, the Rams right now are a 2.5-point favorite against the New Orleans Saints. That game in Los Angeles.
Looking at the schedule for the Rams, who would have ever thought in back-to-back weeks you'd have division leaders facing each other against the Rams and Vikings, and then the subsequent week, the Rams and Saints? Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would have predicted those three teams being division leaders.
It's a different-looking NFL, isn't it? As I pointed out, it's a very different-looking NFL, and I like it. I like it. I really do.
You like parody, but, you know, I don't know that you're seeing parody.
I think it's the kind of thing that all fans like to see, though. That's the kind of thing that really gets fans. I don't know. It gets me going, and I'm an old-time fan. I mean, I'm not a young fan. I'm an old-time fan. I get really going by that. I get tired of seeing the same old in it every year. And don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, I'm happy that it took Aaron Rodgers to take Green Bay out of there. I don't want that to be the way that somebody gets into a position to dominate a division. That's not the way I want it to go down. But in light of the fact that it did, well, okay, you live with it the way it is. I mean, it's not dissimilar to, you know, so many people coming back and saying, well, yeah, the Eagles kicked Dallas's behind last week. Almost 30 points. But that was the Dallas Cowboys without Zeke Elliott. Well, you know, look, all right, I hear you on that. Would I have preferred that Zeke Elliott be there? Yes, I would. But it is what it is. So, you know, there's not much you can do about it.
I don't think it's just Zeke Elliott. You know, Dallas is missing quite a few key players. I mean, they got their defensive captain. What's his name? I just totally lost his name. It'll come to me. Anyway, he's a linebacker. He's out. Sean Lee. That's who I'm talking about.
Lee. That's who I thought you meant. Yep.
And their left tackle, Tyron Smith, is also out, who many are saying is the anchor and the best left tackle in football. So that may be why you're not seeing Alfred Morris or any other of the running backs make a difference without Zeke Elliott. So I'm not saying Zeke Elliott's not a part of the problem, but I think there's, you know, you've got two other Pro Bowlers who some consider the tackle to be one of the best in the league. Everybody they throw in there, they had a really good stat up during the game, you know, of sacks allowed and pressures allowed. Tyron Smith has been insanely good for Dallas, and everybody they put in to replace him has been horribly bad. So, you know, that could be part of it. You know, I'm not going to say it's not just, it's definitely not just Ezekiel Elliott. It's, he's part of it, I'm sure. But I think if you had, if Dallas had all their key players back, I think they looked horrible defensively against the Eagles. I think the Eagles just picked them apart. They ran the ball up and down. They threw the ball up and down without, you know, they had no resistance. So, you know, Dallas's problems, you know, yeah, part of it's Zeke Elliott, but it's not just Zeke Elliott. That's my only point with that. You know, I think, you know, we'll see as the season continues, but I think Dallas is in for a hurt until they get some of these guys back. And by the time they get them back, they're going to be so far out of it, it's not going to matter.
Well, yeah, all right. Now, I hear you on it's not just Zeke Elliott, but in the past 2 weeks, all right, and just so happens to be the past 2 weeks, there's been no Zeke Elliott. This Cowboys team has put up 16 points of offense in two games. That's it. Now, mind you, in those same two games, they've also had 64 points of offense scored against them. So your point's well taken that perhaps maybe, in fact, their defense is a little bit suspect. When you've got 64 points of offense being scored against you in 2 weeks, yeah, you might have a suspect defensive squad there. But 16 points of offense, really? This team looks completely inept without one player, Zeke Elliott. And that doesn't make any damn sense to me. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. That doesn't make any sense. Because that team, like we talked a little bit about it last week. This team should be good enough to be able to pick up for the loss of one player, a running back. And I don't care whether he was, you know, one of the best running backs, or I guess he was the best running back in the league last year. I think he was number one. You know, I don't care. It shouldn't make any difference. This team's still good enough to be able to make up for that difference. Not 16 points in two games.
No, I agree. But like I said, I think it's more than just him. You know, I think they're bad on both sides of the ball. Their offensive line without Tyron Smith, Dak Prescott has no time to do anything. You know what I'm saying? It's just I don't know that if you put Ezekiel Elliott on that team last week against the Eagles, I don't think it would have made a hill of beans difference. I think they would have got run up and down. Yep. I think they'd have got run up and down the field just like they did. I don't think he would have made a little bit of difference. Nothing. Because I think that their problems were more, you know, on defense than the offensive line. Dak Prescott had no time to do anything. And when he did, his star receiver was dropping the ball and that was hitting him on both hands. I mean, come on. There's a lot more going on with this team than just that, you know, Ezekiel Elliott being missing. But that's just me.
Excuse me. Well, I just jumped over to that Eagles and Cowboys game for a moment here. Defensively, the Philadelphia Eagles hit the quarterback 7 times, so they put a licking on Dak Prescott 7 times, sacked him 4 times, intercepted him 3 times. So, you know, there's your defense in action right there. The Dallas Cowboys did put 112 yards of rushing on the Philadelphia Eagles, 112. 91 did come from Alfred Morris. Must have done it quietly because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember much of it.
Point. I don't know that Ezekiel Elliott would have made much difference when you're going, especially going through the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I just don't see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the comparisons. Time of possession was virtually the same. First downs were virtually the same, 17-14 in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles. Offensive yardage was lopsided in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles, 383 to 225. Difference had to be turnovers. Difference turnovers. Dallas had four. Philadelphia Eagles had none. They had four turnovers in the game, three of them interceptions, as I pointed out. Defense. That's you know, I guess if you're gonna sum it up, if you're gonna sum up the Eagles game, Eagles Dallas game, you'd have to say it was the defense. Because look, when you take a look at Carson Wentz's numbers, they weren't horrible, but they were what you would call probably pedestrian. 14 of 27, 168 yards, two touchdowns, 95.9 passer rating, no interceptions. So wasn't sacked, not even once. So, you know, a good performance, but it was a safe performance. He had himself a safe performance. Defense. That's what it came down to. Philadelphia Eagles won this game with defense.
Yeah, and what were their rushing numbers? I think that's why you see
Jay
a little
Ajayi,
bit of...
Yeah, Jay Ajayi led the team 91 yards. The Garrett Blount had 57. Corey Clement had 50. They had 215 yards on the ground and two touchdowns, one from Corey Clement, one from Kenyon Barner.
I think that's why you're seeing the pedestrian numbers from Wentz. I don't think they needed to throw the ball very much. I think that's just kind of how it worked out. You know what I'm saying? To me anyway. That's the way it appears. The Eagles had the, you know, control. You know, they rushed the ball. They didn't need to continually pass to you know, win this game. They got out front and out front in a hurry. I mean, this game was over at halftime, really.
Yeah, no, after the third quarter. Because remember, at halftime, the Dallas Cowboys actually had the lead, 9-7.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
It was in the third quarter. It was in the third quarter where the Eagles actually blew it open. They scored 30 points in the second half of the game. 30 unanswered points, by the way, completely unanswered. So that's where it all came in. but it's interesting because somebody brought up, somebody mentioned the other day, and I would have to say this was exactly the case with myself. While the Philadelphia Eagles went into the locker room down by 2 points, 9-7 at the half, I can't say that I was in any way worried about the outcome of this game. I was never really worried about the outcome of this game. I just kind of thought in the back of my mind, I just kind of thought Philadelphia Eagles are going to win this game. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win this game. excuse me. So, again, while they were down, it wasn't one that I was necessarily concerned about.
No, I don't think if you're an Eagles fan, I don't think you needed to be concerned with that game. I mean, the Eagles looked, even in the first half where the Cowboys might have went into the half leading, I think the Eagles looked in control. I don't think they ever looked out of control in that game. I think that was their
Correct.
That was their game from the beginning, and I think that's just the way it went.
Correct. That's right. And that's exactly the point I was trying to make there. Interesting comment this afternoon I heard from Sal Palantonio, Brenna, which I want to get your thoughts on with regard to the Philadelphia Eagles. While Sal Palantonio reports for ESPN, it is well known, everybody knows that he's a Eagles fan and he's from the Philadelphia region. He made the comment and observation with regard to this Cowboys game from Sunday. The Eagles, of course, are 9-1, best record in the entire NFL. There have been a lot of people who have said, "Well, you know, take a look at who the Eagles have beaten. 40% of their wins, only 40% of their wins have come from teams with a winning record. 60% of their wins have come from teams that did not have a winning record. Sal Palantonio made the point with regard to this specific game from this past Sunday that the Cowboys were not the defining win of the season yet for the Philadelphia Eagles, that the Philadelphia Eagles still have yet to have their defining game. I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of came away from that saying, boy, it does kind of feel that way. This is a team that's won 9 games. They've won 9 games. And yet, for a Philadelphia Eagles fan like myself, I don't necessarily get the feeling yet that they have won a defining game. I mean, your thoughts on that one?
You can only play what the schedule gives you, first of all. You know, you can't – it's not like the Eagles get to pick their schedule. I mean, the schedule, your opponents – basically, the NFL has a rotating schedule. You know who you're going to play every year. It's just a matter of what order and, you know, who's at home and who's not, depending on, you know, the order of the rotation. So, you know, I'm not going to hold that against them, but have they not looked pretty much dominating against every team they played so far this year? I mean, I can't think of a game that, you know, they didn't look good in, you know? So, you know, given that, you know, and they're going to hit, you know, the best the NFC has to offer in the playoffs one way or the other. You know, so I think it's yet to be told. You know what I'm saying? If you're an Eagles fan, you cannot be disappointed in this season so far.
No.
Not at all.
No. You know, as I posted up on social media the other night following the game, I'm in utter disbelief.
Yep.
9-1. I mean, I, you know, I'm just in utter disbelief. With regard to a game that perhaps maybe, you know, was closer, the first game that the Eagles played against the Giants, which was week three, 27-24, the Eagles won that game. That was the game, if I'm not mistaken, that was the game where Jake Elliott won it in the field goal at the end of the game. So that game, you were kind of sitting on your edge of your seat a little bit. But you're right. I mean, for the most part, even in their loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, if you remember back to that game in week 2, the Philadelphia Eagles pretty much dominated the Kansas City Chiefs in the first half. And it might have actually been right through the first 3 quarters. And it wasn't until the Chiefs really got their act together and all of a sudden started pouring it on at the near the end of the you know, into the fourth quarter, I think, even in, you know, might have been the second half, but definitely in the fourth quarter they pulled that game off. But the Eagles, pretty much, they looked like they were going to win that game. So no, your point's well taken. They have looked like a team that, for the most part, pretty much has had kind of control of almost all of their games, including the Carolina Panthers game where they only lost or only won by 5. Chargers, they only won by 2 points. 26-24.
That Carolina Panther game, the Panthers are 7-3. You could almost look at that as a defining game. You know, that's not a bad opponent. 7-3. I mean, granted, the Panthers don't look dominating right now, but, you know, that's a good win. That's a quality win.
Yeah.
For the Eagles.
Except I think the Panthers right now are even a better team than what we played then. That's just my personal opinion. I think they're actually
better.
I think they've
now?
Actually. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I'm not really following that logic. I think
well,
the Panthers are falling apart,
I think they've
personally.
I think they've been up and down almost from the beginning of the season. But in the beginning of the – if you remember back in the beginning of the season, they couldn't score any points at all. They weren't putting any points up.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they kind of seemed to flip the switch a little bit, and then they flipped it back off again. And I think by the time that the Philadelphia Eagles played them, which was 6 weeks or 7 weeks ago now, 6 weeks ago, I guess it was. Let's just see here. The Panthers were just in the process of starting to turn it back on again. And I don't know. Do I have their schedule up here? Let me just pull up the Panthers schedule real quick, and I can, you know, make sure that I'm providing all the correct information. But I don't know. It just seems to me that they were – beginning of the season, there was a lot more – they had a lot more issues than they've had more recently. Panthers most recently beat the Miami Dolphins 45-21. Beat the Falcons 20-17. Beat the Buccaneers 17-13. The Bears beat them on October 22nd, 17-3. Eagles beat them the week before that, 28-23. Prior to that, the Panthers were in a bunch of really, really close games, and then recently now they've started to. It seems feels like they're, I don't know. They feel like they're a little bit, like they're kind of getting their act together a little bit better. I don't know. That's why this week is going to be interesting.
We'll see how it plays out. Who do they play this week?
Yeah, I mean, this week they're playing the Jets. They're at the Jets. They're at the Jets. Next week they're at the Saints. Next week they're at New Orleans.
That's a game that's going to tell you, you know, where the Panthers are at right there. The Jets are not a... That's not going to be a good way to tell.
Yeah, and in fact, let me just see what the line is on that game. Listen, Carolina is only a 4.5-point favorite against the Jets.
Wow.
You would think it would be more.
Where's the game? Is it in New York? That's kind of surprising. I'll be honest with you. That should be a higher line.
I would agree.
Especially with some of the other lines we were talking about pre-show. Some of the games, they have some pretty high lines. I mean, I think you said the Patriots were like a 16-point line. The Eagles were in double digits. I think the Steelers were double digits. I mean, it's like, wow, all these high lines this week.
Yeah.
It just seems,
that's
why,
that's why it's a tough week. To me, it's a tough week to be making... You know, to be making picks on. Philadelphia 13.5, New England 16.5, Kansas City 10, Atlanta 10.
See, I don't like that line a little bit. I don't like that Kansas City line a little bit.
I don't either. I'm inclined to pick Buffalo on that game against the line. I'm inclined to pick Buffalo against the line.
I'd be in line to pick Buffalo straight up. I'm not gonna kill. Not gonna sugarcoat that.
Four of their last five. Buffalo has lost four of their last, Kansas City's lost four of their last five. Now, like I said, we already know that Buffalo's going back to Tyrod Taylor.
They already went back to Tyrod Taylor.
They did that during the game last week. Yeah. But Atlanta's 10 points over Tampa Bay. And as you pointed out, Pittsburgh 14 points over Green Bay favored. So the lines this week, and that's not even all of them. I mean, Cincinnati 8.5 over Cleveland. I don't know if I like that line. I'm gonna be honest with you, because Cincinnati doesn't score any points. Washington 7 points over the Giants. You know, there's a lot of high lines this week, as you point out. But 4.5, yeah, Carolina, 4.5 over the Jets. You would think that line would be a little bit higher. All right, so let's see. Where am I, and have we named every team yet in the entire NFL? Let me jump over to this New York Jets or New York Giants rather, and the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you make of this Chiefs team? I mean, honest to God. I mean, it took overtime for the Giants to win the other day, which they did by 3 points, 12-9, We sat and watched a good deal of the second half of that game. And you would think, well, a game like that, this is going to be a really bad game. You know, because, you know, there's no offense. You know, 12-9, what do you got there? You got 21 points scored between the two teams. I think all of them were field goals. I think I'd have to check on the I'll pull it up here in a second. It took overtime, and yet it wasn't that bad a game to actually watch. It wasn't that bad a game, albeit there were a lot of things I really was unimpressed with the Kansas City Chiefs over. I just sat there at times. I'm going, are you kidding me? I'm trying to remember a couple of them that really just annoyed me. Let me look at the numbers here. here are some of the numbers from this past game. Alex Smith, 27 of 40, 230 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Travis Kelce apparently had a pass. That did not go well. That ended up in an interception. So we had three interceptions on the day. There was virtually, all right, Kareem Hunt wasn't, I mean, they weren't running against this Giants team. I will say, I do remember this from watching this game. The Giants defense was swarming on the Kansas City rushing game. So it was very difficult for them to really get a consistent ground game going. Kareem Hunt had 18 carries for 73 yards. And that was basically the extent of it. They did put up 134 yards total on the ground. I just wanted to check real quick. There was one TD. That's right. There was one TD for the Giants. So it's not like this game was all field goals. I thought there was one. And that was Orleans Darkwa had a rushing touchdown. But even there, the Giants were unable to convert on the extra point. So it ended up being 6-0
pretty ugly game all the way around.
You would think. And yet the second half, like I said, I was able to stay with it, and it had me, you know, it had my attention pulled to it. I was in tune with it. I don't know why.
Because maybe you expected a bigger output from the Chiefs. You didn't expect the game to even be close.
Maybe that was the case. Maybe that is exactly what I expected. Let me just see. Yes, I did pick I did pick Kansas City to win the game. But I picked the Giants against the points. So I won both ways. No. I lost. I lost on Kansas City. I lost on the Kansas City picking them. But Kansas City was favored in that game by 10.5 points.
Yeah.
So, but losers of four of the last five. What do you make of this? I mean, and like I said, there has been rumor, and you disagreed with it. You know, there has been rumor that perhaps maybe they would swap out the quarterback, which I think we're both in agreement that's a bad move. Don't go messing with things right now. You're in the driver's seat. Mid-season slump? What?
Nah, I don't know what to tell you. I can't put my finger on it. I haven't watched enough of the Chiefs games yet to have a better answer. Maybe they got a little full of themselves. You know, they got off to a really hot start. They had the best record in football for many weeks. Maybe they just got, you know, like I said, they got a little full of themselves and, you know, they had to come back down to earth. You know, we'll see. It could also be, I don't know how much you got in the beginning when we were having a lot of communication issues. I think a lot of the players, I think a lot of the defensive coaches got film on some of these players. And I think the Chiefs are not counteracting what the defenses are doing to stop them. And I think that's a little let down on the coaching staff. I think they need to come up with better ways to use all these weapons they have, you know, and continue, you know, to take advantage of this, you know, and they have to find different ways to do it. They have, that's, you know, on the coaching staff. They need to find different ways to get the ball into Tyreek Hill and you know, Kareem Hunt, get them, you know, back in the game. And I think that's, you know, that's part of the issue. Do I think it's the total problem? No. I think it's probably a combination of things. Maybe just some bad luck.
Yeah, I can't seem to put my finger on it either, because it does not appear. And I'd have to take a look at the. I'd have to take a look at the depth chart, but I don't see where they're actually missing any major parts. So it's not like you can point to any major injury, unless it's alignment or something here or there, which perhaps maybe is escaping me, perhaps. But you look up and down all the skill positions; they all seem to be accounted for. So it's just I don't know.
Yeah,
this is a team.
It's a tough one.
I mean, to drop four of the last five, all of a sudden, I mean, just oof. And so let's just see here real quick. Kansas City is hosting Buffalo this week. We just got done talking about it. Kansas City favored by 10. And not that anybody really cares. Well, the Giants are playing on Thanksgiving night against Washington. Oh, boy. I'm sure the ratings on that game will be just phenomenal. Washington, Giants at Washington on Thanksgiving night, primetime. Yeah. I'm sure that
it is a holiday and people are going to be watching football all day. I tend to think that they'll probably get the, you know, comparable ratings. You know, I mean, it is, you know, Thanksgiving's one of the better pro football days out there.
2-8 team against a 4-6 team. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I hear you. It ain't great. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make it out to be anything other than, you know, it's a holiday. For lack of anything else to
now,
watch.
Interestingly, though, you know, we just got, I just mentioned that, you know, you've got the New York Giants. Won that game in overtime. The other overtime game was the game between the Saints and the Washington Redskins. And while I'm sitting here kind of dismissing the Washington Redskins, they're a 4-6 team that took a high-powered offensive team like the New Orleans Saints and pushed them to overtime. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. You've kind of sat back at different times during the course of this season and have said, you know, Washington Redskins might not be as bad a team as perhaps maybe their record appears to be, maybe not as bad as everybody kind of paints them out to be, you know. And I think really in many respects, I think this past Sunday against the New Orleans Saints kind of proved that out. Kirk Cousins was 22 of 32 for 322 yards, had himself three touchdowns, 132.6 passer rating. I mean, they're not shabby. That's not shabby at all. You know, they hung in there with the New Orleans Saints. A couple of times they were – in fact, I'm just looking at it right now. They actually, going into the fourth quarter, they were beating the New Orleans Saints 24-13. So, I mean, I remember sitting here at one point going, oh boy, okay, I got that one wrong. It looks like Washington's going to win this game. So, you know, not a bad Washington.
Yeah, Washington's one of those teams that when you watch them, they actually don't look like a bad team, but they kind of come up that way. You know what I mean? In other words, it's hard to put your finger on what What's keeping them from winning games? You know what I'm saying? I just don't. It's hard to. That's a tough team to digest right now. You know, some weeks they look pretty solid. You know, you would think they should be more competitive than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, I don't know. They just don't seem, when a push comes to shove, they don't seem to get it done.
Yeah,
I mean, this week against the Giants, I mean, seriously, that should be an easy Redskin win. You know, it's just a matter of if they show up and take care of business.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, taking a look, I just wanted to look real quick to see where the New Orleans Saints defense ranks, because it feels like that team, the New Orleans Saints, has absolutely no defense at all. Doesn't it feel like that? Like there's just, you know, they don't even know what the word defense means. You know, that's kind of the impression I get from one week to the next with the New Orleans Saints. And
I think they've improved. I think they've improved on defense. They're not a top tier defense yet. But they're not as bad as they once were, I think.
Well, I was just about to say, and yet they're ranked right now 13th in the entire NFL, only allowing 19.5 yards or 19.5 points a game. So
that's actually not that bad.
No,
that's actually pretty solid.
Yep,
yeah,
exactly. So it's very, very strange because it feels like they feel like a team that, you know, on any given Sunday, all you're going to get is you're just going to get a blowout. You're going to get a shootout, whoever the New Orleans Saints are playing, and yet that's actually not the case.
Well, you know, what it may just be is a perception because they've been pretty weak on defense for the last couple of years. So maybe, you know, that's what you're getting. You're getting a little perception from the last few years. I mean, go back to the Rob Ryan led defense that was like historically bad on epic levels, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe that's why you get the feeling they're not a good defensive team, just because that's the way it was, you know.
The highest over under on this coming week's board is the New Orleans Saints at the Los Angeles Rams, 53.5. That's the highest over-under.
You have two of the highest scoring teams, though, this season. I mean, the Saints put up crazy numbers, and the Rams have put up some good numbers, too, over the weeks. I mean, I do remember some 50-point games earlier in the year that the Rams were involved in. So, yeah, looking at it right now, they both have one has 303 points for, the other is 302 for. So, there you go. Two of the highest in the league. That's why it's the over-under leader.
What's Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, they're pretty – I think they're not horrible. They're at 245.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I was thinking they were one of the higher ones as well, but looking.
The Saints
New England
and Rams
Patriots.
Are 1-2. The Saints
New
and
England
Rams
Patriots
are 1-2 in points. Oh, no, the Eagles are 1. Excuse me. Forgot about the Eagles.
Yeah, New England Patriots
are one.
New England Patriots at 290.
Yep.
290.
They're right there.
Kansas City Chiefs are at 262. So Kansas City Chiefs are actually ahead of Jacksonville in points four. But how about that? The Philadelphia Eagles are, in fact, number one in points four.
Yep.
Huh? 320.
They're for real. I know you look at them through green colored glasses sometimes, and you look at them negatively when I think you should be looking more positively. I think the Eagles are the team to beat in the league this year, period. I don't think there's a better team in the NFL right now, period, even New England.
Wow.
I think if New England and the Patriots, if New England and the Eagles played in the Super Bowl right now, I think that's going to be more of a Philadelphia game than anybody would imagine.
I think you have to give an edge to the Patriots there with regard to experience.
Coaching, for sure. Coaching, I might give the Patriots an edge. I'm not sold on Peterson yet, but you know, Carson Wentz, man, he might be the second coming of Tom Brady. They showed some numbers on Sunday Night Football comparing, you know, this point, this so many starts in his career compared to Brady, and very commensurate, if not ahead in some areas in the stats they showed. Telling you, Carson Wentz is a lot better than you think.
I just can't wrap my brain around it. That's my problem. I can't do it. Oh.
You got to get on board with Carson Wentz, my man. Seriously.
I'm telling you. I just, you know, I know. They keep telling me.
Barack, you got to get on the Wentz wagon.
I'm just not there. I'm... it's not that I'm not there. It's just that I just can't. I can't wrap my brain around it. That's what I can't do. And this was a team that I came into the season with Brandon saying to myself, listen, they're going to win 8 games. If they're lucky, they're going to win 9. That's what I came into the season with the expectation of. And we got 9 right now, and we still got 6 games remaining. See? And that's what I can't wrap my brain around. And when you get into when you get into the playoffs, then it's a whole different ballgame, as you well know. It's a whole different thing. You know.
I think Carson Wentz, though, has the tools. He's going to be good in the playoffs. I think he's going to prove something to you this year in the playoffs. That he has what it takes to win games in the playoffs. Let's face it. You know, that's a big part of why Tom Brady is what he is, and Peyton Manning is what he is. I mean, Peyton Manning had a horrible playoff record. I mean, and I'm not just saying that to bash the guy. I mean, you know, it's just the stats. It is what it is. He was just a horrible playoff quarterback. Big game quarterback. No, not really. I know he has a Super Bowl win, but he also lost 75% of his round one games. So... now, I don't think you're going to see those kind of numbers out of Carson Wentz. I think you're going to see much more in the win column than in the loss.
All right. Well, I hope so. Well, listen, you know, I'll come around. I'll come around.
Better do it soon. The playoffs are coming.
Yeah. I'm waiting for, as Sal Palantonio would say, that defining game. I'm waiting for that defining.
They're 9
game.
And 1. What do you need to wait for? Seriously.
Which I don't think is this week yet. I don't think it's this week because we got the Chicago Bears at home. We got the Chicago Bears at home. And as I just pointed out, Eagles are a 13.5 point favorite at this moment right now over the Chicago Bears. But hey, listen, if they can knock off the Seattle Seahawks the week after, in Seattle? Okay. That might be the defining game right there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That would be a very good win.
That would be the defining game. They knock them off. So
there you go. So 2 weeks. Mark it down. In 2 weeks, Fred House Michael finally buy in to his Philadelphia Eagles being a solid playoff contender here. Maybe even a Super Bowl appearance in the cards.
Real quick because we got about, I don't know. We got about 6 minutes here.
We made it through with all the connection problems.
I can't either with all the dark.
It seems like it's gotten better from my side.
It has.
I don't hear you.
It has gotten better. Yeah.
So maybe they
flipped
the switch. They flipped the switch at BTR and decided to, make the hamsters, you know, run fast enough to power the servers.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, PTR. We're only paying customers. That's all. Talking about playoff teams and what have you, I just wanted to get your thoughts because this is a team. Let me bring up a team here who played last night who you have never been really high on, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. And they go into Seattle last night, and, you know, a lot always made of, home of the 12th man and all that sort of stuff. Has it really been recently? particularly, if I'm not mistaken, particularly this year. Let me just see. What's Seattle's home record? Home record, they're 3-2, so they've lost two games at home, all right? But we have seen Seattle in recent seasons, I think last year as well, they dropped a couple of games at home. So we have seen Seattle lose at home. This is not a team that is completely unbeatable at home. But here we go. You know, we got all the hype and all the mystique about, well, okay, home of the 12th man and all that sort of stuff. And Atlanta goes in and they beat them last night. They beat them by 3. Now, like I pointed out, the interesting thing about this is that at the beginning of the game, Atlanta was the last team in to the playoffs, if the playoffs had started yesterday. Atlanta was the last team in. Seattle was on the outside looking out, looking in. When this game was over, it completely flipped. And so now Atlanta is in, and Seattle's on the outside looking in.
That's what I think you said it backwards the first time, but that's okay.
Did I? Okay.
Yeah.
Atlanta's,
I think you said,
Atlanta's in right now. All right. Atlanta won. What do you make of the win last night? What do you make of the Atlanta Falcons?
I don't know what to think of the Falcons. Every time I think they're done and, you know, I try to write them off, they do something and come back and, you know, I don't know. Who knows? With this Atlanta team, they should be better than they are if you look at them on paper. But to go beat Seattle in Seattle on Monday Night Football, no less, that's saying a lot. They actually earned a bit of respect in my eyes there. I mean, Russell Wilson has a very good record on Monday Night Football. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what to make of it. I don't want to put – I'm not going to put too much stock in one win, but, you know, they came out with their guns blazing, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was I had picked Atlanta to win the game, so I kind of went back and forth over this because, you know, I was the only one, actually, of the five of us last Thursday night on Frat House Sports Show that picked Atlanta. So, you know, I'm sitting there going, okay, yeah, I'm, you know, but look, I got no love for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't really have any for Seattle Seahawks either. But I was just, I don't know what to make of the Falcons. You know, you've pointed it out on numerous occasions. They're a team that a lot of times comes out and they start hot, and then they seem to kind of fizzle off. Well, last year they didn't, but in many previous seasons before they have. And as you point out, on paper, they're a team that looks like they should always be pretty much at the top of the entire conference, and yet that's not the case most of the time. So, I mean, I don't know. And yet the Seattle team looks kind of – they're suspect looking to me this year as well.
Well, their big problem is they don't have a clear defined running back. You know, no matter who they try to throw out there, just Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy, none of them.
Yep.
They can't seem to, you know, they can't seem to get that. Until they do, they're not going to go very far if they make the playoffs.
Yeah,
and
that's always been the case for that team.
So that
hasn't
is
it?
That a factor of the back, or is that a no? Because Marshawn Lynch had no problem running in that team when he was there. You know, Marshawn Lynch was beast mode then. That wasn't an issue for the Seahawks. Now that was,
but yeah, but
what,
in
two
the
years
last,
ago
in
at
the
this
last,
point.
Yeah, but in the last few years, he could never stay healthy for the entire season.
Hmm.
I mean,
well,
that's what the problem
was
there.
To stay healthy for the whole year.
Yeah,
mean,
but they never
straight.
They never had a suitable backup, it seemed, for him. So, I don't know.
Thomas Rawls looked like he was going to be good, but
I don't know
what happened with him.
Exactly.
That's a tough one to figure out right there.
Then
the defense took the hit
because, of course, they lost Richard Sherman, and then now they're also without Cam Chancellor. So, yeah, you know, they took the hit a little bit there, but You can't say necessarily it hurt them horribly last night. I mean, they only lost by three. So I think you have to kind of wait and see on that one to see whether the loss of those two is even going to have a greater impact yet. But I was just checking Atlanta, as we've already talked about a little bit, a 10-point favorite over Tampa Bay this coming Sunday. And that game in Atlanta, Seattle, a 7-point favorite in San Francisco. So that's where those two stand for this current week. All right. All right. Anyhow, there's our program for this evening. And somehow or another, after a bumpy 30 minutes there on the front end, if you managed to get through it all there with us, I appreciate it. But after a bumpy little front end, we got through the rest of it pretty clear. Hopefully everything's good for tomorrow evening. Why tomorrow evening? Because that is when we will be bringing to you our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Normally we're here on Thursday, but, there's kind of a big thing happening on Thursday. It's called Thanksgiving. And we don't do a Thanksgiving show. We never have. So we're not doing one this year, but we will be here with you tomorrow night. Myself and Brandon and Matt and Chris Davis, and I believe Mike Appel will be joining us. We'll be talking even a little bit of NHL hockey tomorrow evening. And we will be making our picks of the week with three games that will be being played on the very next day on Thanksgiving Day. So you're going to want to be here at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, we're picking all three now? That's cool. I thought we were only doing two.
That night, yeah, sure, we will pick. Well, okay, well, we won't pick all three. We'll just pick the right now it's just the two. I was asking for the other guys to jump in. But right now we will be picking at least two of those games. You're going to want to be here for that as we make our picks for the at least two of the Thanksgiving games, as well as all of our other picks and as well as all of our other chit chat. So make sure you're here with us tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. on a special night, Wednesday night. All right, there you go. All right, again, many thanks to everybody that's been listening in and for bearing with us as we got through this one. And until tomorrow, tomorrow, tune into us at 7 p.m. Catch you then.